No doubt you've heard of Baal worship, which was prevalent in Scripture. The people that were outside of the Jewish religion worshiped all kinds of false gods. Then we have throughout the centuries we've had ancestor worship, even demon worship. But I bet there's one that you've never heard of. How about this one? Prince Philip worship? Yes, the one and the same Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, who is the husband of Queen Elizabeth, and believe it or not, is still alive today at the ripe old age of 98, actually has an island of people that worship him as God. Just ask Albi Niagia of the island of Tana in Yakel, Vanuatu, who regularly prays to the British royal, awaiting his return to establish a new world order in which fish will leap from the sea and life will become eternal. Albi is not the only Vanuatu to worship Prince Philip. Several hundred others on the small primitive island of Tana in the archipelago of Vanuatu in the South Pacific do as well. Here in Tana, we believe that Prince Philip is the son of our God, our ancestral God who lives up in the mountains, says Islander Nako Nikian. Albi and Nako are both members of an active cult known as the Prince Philip Movement, which began in the 1960s, gaining a real boost in popularity in 1974 when Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth visited the island aboard their royal yacht. And then in 2007, the two men were among a small group from Tana who were flown to England by the British reality show Meet the Natives, during which time they were personally introduced to the prince. Meeting him was just wonderful. It's just like being in a spiritual world. Though the prince is now 98 years old, the movement's followers have not lost hope in his return, saying that even if he dies, he can still return in spirit and grant them eternal life. Now, it seems incredible that anyone could be so simple-minded as to embrace such off-the-wall, crazy theology as to worship a British royal as God. Lamont Lindstrom, an anthropology professor at the University of Tulsa in Oklahoma, agrees, saying, "The Tana people believe in everything and nothing at the same time," explaining that storytelling and prophesying are key to advancing one's stature in their society. Now, many of the Tana people are devotedly following a baseless, ludicrous, utterly fabricated belief system. And perhaps you might think that they're simply primitive and gullible. But here's the sad part. Christian missionaries have been on that island since before this cult came into popularity. And this cult was created by the leaders of their tribal community as a backlash to Christianity. They wanted to keep their people reined in instead of following the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have in turn led many, many astray. Well, this sad story is just a microcosm of what's going on in our world today. Because the Tana people would rather believe what they know to be fully fabricated rather than submit themselves to the authority of the gospel. And we are living in a day that is ruled by that same thought process. We have hundreds of millions of people who will believe everything and nothing. They will not believe the truth of Jesus Christ, and they will continually replace it with fabrications and lies. Here in 2 John verses 7 through 13, through the end of this short book, we have what John is warning about. Last Sunday, we began talking about truth and love and saw the commendations. John commended the church for some who are continuing to live in the truth. And then he commanded them to not even pay attention to false teachers, to not even give them the time of day. Well, here in verses 7 through 13, he continues his discourse. So please stand with me in honor of God's word as we see these amazing words of John the Apostle, written from the island of Patmos in exile, but clearly showing his love and his concern for the church. 2 John verse 7 says, "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister who is chosen by God send their greetings." Thank you. Please be seated. So we've already seen the commendation and the command. Now here in verses 7 through 11, we see some cautions. Verse 7 is that word of caution for why we must speak in love and truth. He says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist." The reason for the dual emphasis on truth and authentic love is because there is much falseness in the world. Just think about it. How many times do we read something and think that it's true only to be proven false later? You remember the story when George W. Bush was running for president of how he supposedly left and defected from the armed forces only to be proven a lie later. Many times we accept what we hear on the news or read on the internet, God forbid, as absolute truth. Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't believe in the Word of God, you'll fall for anything. This is the only source of absolute truth. This is the only source of truth that can never be or proven false. Because God cannot ever be false. The Word of God says that He cannot lie. Not that He won't or that He doesn't want to. He cannot, because that is completely opposite of His holy character. And we have this emphasis on truth because there are many who want to lead you astray. Just like the tribal leaders in Tana led all of these generations of people astray with this ridiculous cultic worship of Prince Philip, we have people who worship all kinds of things. Money, power, fame, whatever the case, you fill in the blank. But anything that replaces God on the throne of your life is an idol. And it's false. And it must be confessed and replaced. Our country is being bombarded with alternative religions, cults, who find an amazing array of religious philosophies, including claims to psychic insight and various attempts at intermingling New Age thought with certain Christian truths. Some may even use the right words but change their meanings. And people who are not well grounded in the Word of God will fall victim and fall prey to these false teachers. John understood the danger of false teachers in the church. John warned about them and how they were deceiving Christian congregations. Often their teachings would resemble Christianity in an expressed concern for individuals and an emphasis on loving and helping others. Today in our world, we have churches who stress serving others but don't care about preserving truth. And while serving others is certainly a core principle of Christianity, if we don't preserve truth, dear friend, we are submitting ourselves to the lies of the evil one who wants to subvert and lead us astray. The truth of God's word must be held as absolutely fundamental. Yes, love is important. Yes, we must love one another. Yes, we must serve one another. But that can never be at the expense of the truth. Many people's concept of Christ is non-biblical. And this word antichrist refers to anyone who denies biblical truth about Christ and seeks to deceive others. Who is the antichrist? Well, he's a figure who will come and will take power in the end times. He will rise to authority over the world. He will supposedly unite countries and unite people, only to later be learned that he is directly sent from Satan himself. And then he'll start his worldwide movement of stamping out any sign of Christianity left and ruthlessly killing people, committing genocide. And while many false teachers will never physically kill anyone, the Word of God holds them every bit as much responsible for leading people astray and spiritually killing people. Because ultimately, dear friend, your physical life on this earth is temporary anyway. But your spiritual self, your soul, will live forever. So it's far more critical to embrace spiritual truth so that your soul might be in right fellowship with God when you leave this earth, so that you can spend eternity in heaven with Him. But if you embrace the lie, then your soul will be forever separated from God in a real place called hell. To me, there is no more dangerous teaching that's being propagated throughout our nation today, that there is no such thing as a literal hell, that a loving God would never send anyone there. And you've heard my response to that. It's not God who sends anyone to hell. We send ourselves there by rejecting the truth. It's not the will of the Father that any should perish. And when you tell me there is no literal hell, then there was no reason for the sinless Son of God to give His life on Calvary's cross. If no one is in need of rescue, why was salvation even necessary? Jesus believed in hell. You and I better also. Jesus knew that there was a place that He needed to rescue people from. Jesus knew that there was a reason why He had to give His life for the salvation of all mankind. Because on our own, we were headed straight to an eternal separation from God. Jesus provided the truth. Having described the deceivers in verses 7 and 8, John goes on to warn of following them. He tells us to watch ourselves, that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Now, please understand that losing what you have accomplished does not refer to a loss of salvation. Never replace clear passages of Scripture with unclear. This may sound, and it's even used by others who propagate the lie that you can lose your salvation. But other clear passages, such as John 10, clearly say that my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and nothing can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's clear. And do you think a letter of John would contradict the Gospel of John? You think John would contradict himself here? Absolutely not. This danger is not loss of salvation, but loss of reward for which they have worked. Because if we turn from the truth halfway through this marathon called life, then we don't finish the race and receive the reward. No athlete who quits halfway through a race gets a medal. Unfortunately, in our world today, we have participation awards. Isn't that sweet? We don't use red ink to mark up test papers anymore, but we switch to purple because red is a little too offensive to young minds. I want to tell you something, folks. When I was in school, the red ink on a test motivated me. How about you? We don't need a deviation from truth, from right and wrong. An answer is either right or it's wrong. It doesn't fall somewhere in the middle. Now, I'm very thankful for my college algebra professor. I was kind of confused about an equation that I was supposed to work, and I worked it halfway. And bless his heart, he gave me half credit. I didn't deserve any credit because my answer wasn't right. I didn't even answer it. I got 15 points better than I should have on that exam. And people will confuse others by telling them what they want to hear. You're not wrong. You're just confused. And we have all these euphemisms for right and wrong. All these ways to make people feel better. But listen, folks, when we're standing before God on the day of judgment, our feelings aren't going to matter anymore. Because we either lived a life of truth and love or we didn't. To be fully rewarded refers to the rewards of faithful service. All who obediently walk in truth and love will be fully rewarded. Those who Scripture said finish the race. People are often deceived because they're looking to justify their own self-centeredness and selfishness. The reason why failure to abide in the truth leads to a loss of reward is indicated in verse 9. That says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. In the New Testament, the writers were realists about the possibility of true Christians falling prey to heresy and warning against it. John had just cautioned his readers about the possible loss of reward there in verse 8 and wanted them to not deviate from the truth, which means to leave God behind. It means to wander off on your own tangent. Not long ago, I was trying to find a place that I had never been to before. So I tapped, and while I was stopped at a red light, I was on my phone. I was not trying to navigate Google Maps when I was driving, honey, I promise. But I was trying to find this place, and Google Maps took me one way, and the road was closed. And so I needed to find an alternate route. And I decided that rather than listen to Google Maps, I was just going to figure it out. Needless to say, about 15 or 20 minutes later, after I was already late for my appointment, I listened to Google Maps again, and it got me right back on path. Many times when we try to ad lib, when we try to deviate from God's plan, when we try to wander off the path that He has chosen for us, it leads to dead ends, it leads to heartbreak, it leads to failure, it leads to all kinds of negative consequences that we had no intention of finding ourselves in. Verse 10 instructs us not to give any practical encouragement to those who spread false doctrine. That's what false doctrine does. If you view truth as the straight and narrow, false doctrine deviates off that path like I did, not listening to Google Maps. And when we start listening to false doctrine, we overstep, we leave the right path and find ourselves in all of these negative situations. So what John basically says is these that we should not even engage or entertain these false teachings. You know, Satan can put a lot of crazy things in your mind. He knows as a believer he can't have your heart, he can't have your soul. So where does he wage war? In the 6 to 8 inches between your ears. And he'll put all kinds of crazy thoughts. But see, as a believer, you have a choice. You have a choice whether to entertain that thought and throw it a big party and mull it over and consider it and expound upon it, or you have a choice by the Word of God to put it that thought out of your mind. And when we're reading about spiritual armor, we find that the Word of God is the sword. So if you want to skewer wrong thinking, you have to replace it with the truth, with the Word of God. And John is saying, don't even entertain it. Don't welcome it into your house, into your home. That's right here. Get those wrong thoughts out of your mind. If you have a sin problem today, I want to tell you something. You have a theological problem. You have a belief problem that needs to be changed by the truth of God's Word. These false teachers were actively engaged in disseminating erroneous error and erroneous thinking. John instructed the believers not to show any hospitality to false teachers. They were to do nothing that would encourage the heretics in their propagation of falsehoods. If God's truth is not a teacher's main conversation, he should receive no hospitality in the church, and we should not entertain those thoughts in any way. There are preachers who have grown churches to the tens of thousands today, who when confronted and asked if Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, will say, "Oh, I wouldn't go that far." A man by the name of Joel Osteen, with $2,000 suits and $1 million smile, was asked directly if Jesus is the only way to God. And his response was, "I wouldn't go that far." I would like to ask Mr. Osteen, how far did Jesus go for you? Are you more interested in a big congregation and fancy suits and your $1 million a year salary? Or are you more interested in the truth? It's dangerous, folks, when we start replacing truth with what makes people feel good. Our modern age has diminished the sense of the dangers of false teachers who have lost their convictions about God's truth. But this rejection of false teachers is also true for believers today and everywhere. John adds in verse 11 that a person who supports a false teacher in any way shares in the teacher's wicked work. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds, as we read there at the end of verse 11. So we have these commands to not even entertain wickedness or falsehood. But then we find in verses 12 and 13 some comforts. Let me share those with you very quickly. We have the cautions, now we have the comfort. So let's read verses 12 and 13 again. "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your sister, who is chosen by God, send their greetings." Finally, after commending, commanding, and cautioning, John comforts in verses 12 and 13. Here in verse 12, the faithful apostle promises to come to them so that they might more fully experience the joy of the Lord. Now, we know that John never made it physically, but his words did. And as his word was read to these churches, We see his heart's desire is to be with God's people. And he wants to comfort them. And he wants to give them strength in the midst of all these false teachings and challenge them to continue on in the truth. John indicates here they had much to write to them, but preferred to say it face to face. Perhaps that's why 2 John is so short. He had more to say, but wanted to be there with God's people. Sometimes there are things that need to be said that you can't communicate by email or phone. You have to just be there face to face. We are losing sight of the power of personal relationships in our society today. I am very, very concerned about our generation of millennials who would rather text somebody than talk to them. In our automated world, we no longer have to, my wife and I were talking about this, people don't even have to interact with cashiers anymore. You've got the fast lane at Walmart now. You can sit out in your car and order it online and they'll even bring it out to you. You don't have to interact with people. You don't. And then you have the fast lane and the kiosk at fast food places. You've probably seen this. You can order on the kiosk, pay at the kiosk, and then go and pick up your food off the counter without talking to a single person. What is our world coming to? Yes, automation can take us a long way, but I don't know about you, but I really need and enjoy personal interaction. John knew that being there face to face, he could communicate more clearly. But we thank God for his word that his Holy Spirit preserved it and allowed the church throughout, not just in John's time, but throughout time since, has been able to enjoy and experience this powerful little book, this powerful little letter about truth and love. You know, folks, as we abide in Christ's love and truth, we will experience a fullness of joy. In John 15:10, we talk specifically about that. We will experience personally being together and loving one another in our fellowship. The epistle closes in verse 13 with a greeting to the church from its sister church. The children of your chosen sister greet you. That's what that word means, a sister church. John loved the church. He cared about her and wanted her to abide in truth and love. You know, here John draws a very real dividing line in the sand between Christ and Antichrist. He drew a line in 1 John between light and darkness and truth and heresy. We are commanded to stay away from false teachers. We're commanded to walk in truth, love one another. Dear friend, please don't play with false teaching. It is serious business, and we should never overlook it. There are so many false teachings in our world that we might be tempted to take many of them lightly. Instead, we should realize that the dangers they pose are very real and very present. And we should actively refuse to give heresies and false teachings any foothold. 2 John will take but a few minutes to read, but I hope its message will last you a lifetime. Be people of truth and love.